Yeah, and that actually, you touched it there on the conspiracy thing. And that was the little story I wanted to share with you about what compelled me to contact you was I think I had posted something on social media regarding how kind of difficult it is to navigate conversations, political discussions right now. And it's always been difficult. There's always that thing where like, oh, you go to Thanksgiving with your family and you got to deal with the racist uncle or the, ignorant family member that mentioned something and you have to deal with that. But it's gotten to a real point now with all these crises we're in the midst of currently where it is a real thing. It's very concerning to many people. So I had a friend who I've known for a little while, but I think she saw something I had posted about this and she's like, "Hey, I just want to have a conversation." So we were on the phone talking and she's like, "Hey, I have this best friend, someone she loves dearly, who was getting sucked into the QAnon conspiracy theory, right?" And while certainly it's being discussed now more and more, I mean, it's gotten to a point where what I used to think of as fringe theories that were on the edges of political discourse, they weren't really within what we'd call the Overton window of political discourse in this country. Now it is, and it has to be talked about. So anyway, my friend was just very concerned. She's like, "I love my friend, but she's just buying into this theory that's just so weird. It's fucking weird."
It's
But
really weird.
it's really weird because when you really look at it, it's very strange. But like, and she just wanted to get my thoughts on it, and I actually sent her because again, when I first became familiar with you, was a Twitter thread that you had published on the dangers of these conspiracy theories. You went into the history of it. I think you pointed to like all the way back to maybe 19th century, early 20th century, with the spread of some of these very anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that were.
It goes all the way back to medieval ages. I mean, it
Right.
really, oh, I mean,
Yeah.
like there's stuff going on right now, like blood libel, that goes back to like we're talking kings and queens as nations are coming about. So no, you're exactly right. Like this has a long, long history.
Yeah.
And of course, we got here is a completely different story. But yeah, this is a long line of this stuff.
Yeah. And so I shared with her some resources and just tried to say, "Hey, you're," because I think for her, one of the defining feelings she was expressing to me was that reality itself was like, am I crazy for thinking that they're crazy? Is there something to it? What's going on? And she just wanted to kind of be reassured that she's not crazy, that she does have a grasp on reality. And I'm like, yeah, this is a very difficult time for that very reason. But anyway, I mean, I wanted to just point to that and ask you because I think that was something I really wanted to focus on, at least at the very beginning of this, which is if you could explain this theory. I mean, just give us the basic, understanding of what it is, maybe where it came from, and if you could just give us some background on that.
Yeah, do you mind if I go on like just a quick tangent? Because what you
Yes,
just said
please.
I felt like was very powerful. This idea that reality as we know it is sort of coming apart,
Yeah.
right? Which I actually think is one of the biggest topics and one of the most important topics that we as a people have no interest in actually talking about.
Yeah,
Right? Like it's
yeah.
weird to talk about. Like it's a weird esoteric kind of an idea. But I think in order to understand the conspiracy theory stuff, you have to understand that. And so I think one thing that Americans are starting to really come around on, and it's a rude awakening. I mean, like I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, this year's 4th of July had to be the most bizarre 4th of July for everyone. We're in a country that you get to like this patriotic day that's supposed to celebrate American exceptionalism, right?
Yeah.
And then you get there and we're in the midst of a pandemic that is so bad that people are dying left and right, and you can't go out and have you can't have your fireworks, you can't have your cookouts, you can't have your gatherings. So it's really weird to be celebrating this idea of American exceptionalism while America is failing. Right.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that we have to understand before we understand conspiracy theories is we have to understand that that idea of American exceptionalism that I think people like you and me and maybe people listening to this podcast grew up with is that that reality was never actually real. That reality was a mythology. It was a story that we were told. And by the way, everyone's told it. This is what's taught in schools, right? There's this idea of America that goes from point A to point B, and it's supposed to be this mythology where America is like the arbiter of all that is good and just and freedom and liberty and equality. Well, guess what? That's not a reality that everyone has always experienced, because people of color and LGBTQ Americans and women and you name it, they have not experienced that. Right. Mm-hmm. They've heard about it, and their own experience did not bear out on that. Well, as social media is coming around and as politics has to become more and more inclusive and culture has to be more inclusive, we're starting to hear from people who have never experienced that. And I think we're all starting to realize, holy hell, that wasn't all true. Right. And so it's like this weird thing. And I try and tell people, it's like I grew up in what I now call the cult of the Shining City, which is a neo-Confederate apocalyptic white identity evangelicalism. Or if you just want to call it modern white Christianity, you can do that. Right. Which is the idea that America is God's chosen country, which means that we are his champions of good and the inheritors of the universe's will. Right? Mm-hmm. We are fighting for what's good, and anyone who opposes us is evil and needs to be taken down. And you know, that's the mythology of America that many Americans have grown up with. Well, so like, let's go into the mindset of that. If you truly believe that America is God's chosen country, right? And that there is an omnipotent, all-powerful being who is watching over this country and taking care of it. Well, why would we ever fail? Right? Yeah. How does a country that is God's chosen country ever fail? And if you listen to regular American history, or you've, you know, learned history through the schools, that's the America that we're talking about. So how did it fail? Well, the conspiracy theories all play upon that idea of unique nationalism, right? I'll just go ahead and I'll start in 1930s Germany, because actually one of the things we don't like to talk about is that America and Nazi Germany were really linked. Mm-hmm. Like we have really strong ties with each other, and we actually inspired a great deal of the Third Reich. Well, there's this myth in Germany called the knife in the back. And the knife in the back is a conspiracy theory that the reason why the German army lost in World War I is because they were betrayed from the inside by the Jewish people. There's no way that Germany could have lost World War I because they were the best army and they were the chosen country and they were the strongest. So all of a sudden, if that is what you believe, you have to start looking for explanations. Right? Like, what is it that could possibly hold us back? Well, the knife in the back is always this part of unique nationalism. And in America right now, we're in the middle of a massive existential crisis. Because what people, so I'm 38 years old. I graduated from graduate school in 2008, just as the housing market was falling apart, right? I had spent years protesting the Iraq War. We were becoming less and less respected in the global arena. By the way, now I'm looking at a possible Great Depression. The country is on fire with the pandemic. And I come from Indiana, from a family full of factory workers and miners. Well, what happened to those factories? What happened to those mines, right? The people in my family grew up with those jobs and they suddenly went away. Well, where did they go, right? So the reason why we have the conspiracy theories is because you have to support the myth of the unique nationalism, right? America is God's chosen country. Well, why are we suffering right now? Why are we faltering? We have to find a knife in the back, right? It's not our fault. It's not God's fault. There has to be something wicked and evil that is pulling us back and keeping us from greatness. Well, so the people that we're talking about, and unfortunately, I have a lot of people that I care about who are currently getting lost in this. They're sharing QAnon stuff. They're sharing white supremacist stuff. I mean, they're being worked over by this stuff. They do not have the language to understand yet why this stuff has happened. So we could sit here and we could probably talk for an hour about NAFTA. We could talk about global economics. We could talk about deindustrialization in America and why the factories went away, why we're moving away from coal and mines, you know, and why, like, my hometown was devastated by a multinational corporation like Walmart. We could talk about Reaganomics, but we would talk about that because we had knowledge of those things. Right? Because we had an understanding of history and how politics, like, actually work. Well, guess what? A group of people that doesn't have knowledge of how politics works, they have to create folklore. They have to create urban legends to explain how these things happen. And unfortunately, when you look at something like, so in the 1990s into the 2000s, it was the New World Order, right? If that rings a bell for people, New World Order is just a simplified explanation of the, globalism. And instead of, oh, these people are after your money, all of a sudden it's like Satan. Satan's after you and he's trying to kill you and your family, right? The deep state is just the New World Order with a new set, a new coat of paint. Right. And QAnon is an interactive supernatural New World Order. Right. You can go online and you can find the clues. And then as a result, and this is one of the reasons why QAnon is so dangerous, because the New World Order and the deep state, we can't take it down. You know, these are like big, giant conspiracies and we can't take them down. In QAnon, you can. If you find the right clue, it's like it's like an artificial reality game. If I find the right clue, I could take down the deep state. I could be the savior of humanity if I just watch the right YouTube video or I discern the right code. So it gives people who are powerless the sensation of having power, which is part of a cult. All of these things run on cult logic, and all of them change the exact same way as a cult logic. So we can talk about like how to get through to people who are going through this, but we have to understand that conspiracy theories are the language of cults, particularly in terms of powerlessness.
I didn't ever make that connection because, I mean, I was just thinking of QAnon like, oh, this is like the conglomeration of all of these, like the New World Order and all these other conspiracy theories before. It was like a very neat package, you could say, a very weird one, but one that could tie all these things together. But what you're saying there is that it's like an interactive experience. It's not just like you're reading about it and then you feel disempowered, because for me, that's what conspiracy theories often point to, is the sense of there's a cabal.
There's a smoke room.
Yeah, there's a group of...
We're not in it.
Yeah, usually it's something like Jewish people are controlling the governments of the world. But what you said there, that connection, I hadn't thought about that. The reason why this has taken on such gigantic proportions in not just American politics, it seems like it's extended internationally as well, with QAnon, is that, yeah, there's like a game, because that's something that like I've heard various people working in, I don't know, tech or other industries, they're like, hey, how do we bring more people in and draw their attention in? Well, let's make games out of things, right? And that's just a strategy that they use to draw your attention in. Well, that's now extended to this really weird conspiracy theory that came up in the wake of the election of Donald Trump. And I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I had to just comment on that. I had never made that connection. So, yeah. Yeah, and I would just like to ask, I mean, give us some basic tenets of this idea of QAnon. Like, what is it? What do they believe?
At this point, and by the way, one of the things that you said is that it's like this neat little package. It started as a neat little package. Mm. But what ends up happening, and this is one of the reasons why people need to think about it through the idea of a cult. And one of the things that happens... And people forget this. Major religions start as cults, right? Mm-hmm. They start out as like a small group of people who believe something, and then they convince more people of that. Well, what people don't understand is that major religions, maybe now we'll say something like Christianity or Islam. We put a capital C or a capital I in front of it, right? Mm-hmm. But they started out as small gatherings that then had their own like little tiny civil wars, where there would be one sect that went this way, or there'd be another sect that went this way, right? And on one hand, they'd be like, well, we believe that baptism saves you. And then on the other hand, they're like, no, only confessing to a priest can save you. And all of a sudden, you have like splinters, right? Well, QAnon starts out with this basic belief that there is a person calling himself, theirselves, Q. Under the auspices that they are... a super classified intelligence agent, possibly Donald Trump himself, posting on a forum called 4chan, which is where people went to be racist and, you know, just play around as fascist, basically.
Right.
It then migrated to 8chan, and then now it's on 8kun, which has just gotten even worse. But what has actually happened is it started as a person who would just drop, they're called Q drops. They would just be these very, very cryptically worded posts, right? And so here's the genius of Q. And a lot of, there are a lot of theories about who Q is and who Q isn't. But the ingenious nature of it is that these drops are always cryptic, which means literally everyone who reads them can discern their own logic in them, can discern their own fortune through them. It's like a Nostradamus quatrain, right?
Right.
So you sit down, and it's actually kind of ingenious, because not only does that make it interactive, like the person who's on the other side of it starts figuring it out, but then also, like, if something happens later on, you can say, oh, remember that Q drop that said that? And all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, absolutely. That's what that was about, right? Mm. Which is what any good cult leader can do. They just sort of sprinkle a little bit of dust around, and eventually they like nail something. So the idea of QAnon is that there has been a takeover of the world. Again, it's the New World Order. It's by a group called the Cabal, or the Deep State. And by the way, if you just kind of like peer behind the curtain a little bit, yes, it's Jewish puppet masters. It always is, right? Mm-hmm. But it's this group that has taken over America. And it includes Republicans, mostly Democrats, liberals, Jewish people, and obviously people in the media, right? Because the movies that we watch and the music that we listen to are hidden with symbols, which anybody listening who lived through the 1980s, you're going to hear echoes of the Satanic Panic, right? Idea that there were like hidden messages on music and in our movies, and the devil was always present, which is one of the reasons why the QAnon has started to merge into the Christian community, because it's the same mindset. There's an evil conspiracy. Now, it starts off with that. And basically what ends up happening is that it has become completely focused and obsessed with taking literally everything Donald Trump does and turning it into some sort of a victory or some sort of a secret move, right? There's nothing that Trump can do wrong, because he's always like 5 or 6 steps ahead of everybody. And so QAnon continually tries to swallow, digest, and then regurgitate something that gives us a mythology of Trump being right and fighting the deep state and the cabal.
Can I just say one thing? They call that 4D chess. Isn't that something that I've heard? He's so ahead of the game. He's planning all his steps out, and everything he does is just a part of this big plan, right?
I always say, I disagree completely whenever people say he's playing 4D chess. I think he would choke on a checker, you know?
Yeah.
I really don't. But so this idea, it gets really weird really fast. Right. So the idea is that and I've been accused of this, you know, I'm like a liberal arts professor in Georgia. But, you know, obviously I'm a player in the game. Right. I'm a psyop. I'm part of this thing. So the idea is that the rich and powerful in this country have not only taken over the government, but that they are serial child rapists and child killers. Right. And by the way, this goes back to blood libel, of what we talked about, the idea that you kill children and harvest their blood and you enjoy their torture and all this stuff. This has been around for centuries. This is a really crazy, crazy thing. They've even got this idea that there's like this thing, adrenochrome, that they like harvest and they use to keep themselves young, and that they're like literal vampires, which, by the way, this is how you get the myth of a vampire, is the idea that the rich and powerful feed off of the poor. Right.
Yeah.
And that's how they stay young. So it's all these mythologies that are just wound up in this. But so it eventually spirals out of control. There's a group of them that believes in a thing called mole children, like children who live underground in New York City and have like mutated.
What?
There are some of them that believe that JFK Jr. faked his death in order to partner with Donald Trump to take down the people who killed his father, JFK. There's another group of people who believe in reptilians. There's another group of people who believe in time travel. And with the time travel people, some of them actually believe that Donald Trump's son, Barron Trump, is a time traveling crime fighter. I mean, like, this stuff, and here's the thing, you can take it and you can turn it into anything that you want. And like, you're constantly finding clues, and it ends up becoming, again, this sort of like slapdash choose your own adventure conspiracy theory. And so every single day there's more evidence that you can compile into your conspiracy view. It's a really crazy phenomenon.
you know, when this...
The look on your face is priceless. I just want to let people know that as you're absorbing this, and when I actually explain to people what this is, that's usually the look that I get.
Well, I mean, if you consent to me releasing some of the video of this, then they will see it, because I'll make sure to include that.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a download of just like, because I think, okay, this is the disturbing thing, because I've met, like, I grew up in a pretty religious, had a religious upbringing in the LDS church. My father in particular was very into very esoteric, not even just mainstream religious ideas within the LDS church, but some very esoteric and conspiracy oriented ideas. So I grew up with some familiarity with that thinking, and then I kind of grew out of it and sort of am now coming back to exploring some of these subjects from a different angle. So what you're saying is, like, you said a few things that just triggered specific memories. Like you said, Barron Trump being a time traveler. I'm like, oh, one of my dad's weird friends from back in the day sent me a Facebook message a few months ago about Barron Trump being a time traveler. Or I mean, all these little things where I'm like, they're not necessarily ascribing to QAnon specifically, but like you said, this kind of conglomerates and puts it all into one umbrella thing, right?
Well, I'll just say really quickly, I grew up in a similar circumstance, but it was with the Baptist and Pentecostal faith. Mm-hmm. And so there's a thing that ends up happening. And again, this is the cult of the Shining City that I talked about. And weirdly enough, so much of this has to do with Ronald Reagan, who, like, he's always portrayed as this, like, great Christian patriot. Mm-hmm. He actually wasn't religious. He was spiritual. He believed in, like, Atlantis. He believed in, like, devilish plots and all that stuff. It's, like, a really weird story that people need to look up. It's a bizarre, bizarre thing. But so I grew up in that environment where it wasn't just going to church. There was the added component of, like, the New World Order is out to get you. And if you come around a corner at the wrong moment, Satan might be there. You need to be prepared to fight Satan at any moment. Now, like you, I got out of that. But the framework of it is still in my head. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there have been moments where, because I was raised up in apocalyptic Christianity. Mm-hmm. So, like, there will be moments where it'll be like, I don't know, an earthquake or a meteor shower or something will happen, and that old, you know, programming will kick in. And all of a sudden I'm like, signs and wonders. Here it is. Thief in a night. We're ready to go. But here's the thing. I got out of that and I'm still got that running in the background. The people in my family who didn't necessarily get out of it, it's now being overworked by this QAnon stuff. Right? Mm-hmm. Because they were taught that there were satanic conspiracies and child murder and child rapists and all this stuff, which, by the way, just to point out for anyone listening who hasn't connected the dots, there actually is a network of child rapists and all this stuff, like the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. There's a reason why that takes place, and we're now looking at all this. We're trying to understand how these things have happened. It just so happens that the people who were lost in it are looking at it through a different lens that explains through that programming that you and I are talking about.